This past Monday saw the deadliest intentional attack on Afghan civilians by the U.S. since the start of the 10-year-long war in Afghanistan. An unnamed U.S. Army staff sergeant walked a mile in the middle of the night to two different villages near his base in southern Afghanistan and murdered 16 civilians, including 9 children and 3 women. While the U.S. military maintains that the shooting rampage was done by a single rogue soldier, some Afghans are claiming there was more than one gunman involved. The villages near the soldier's base in Panjwai were believed to be a Taliban stronghold and were often targeted by the U.S. military for night raids with helicopters and dogs. Residents of Panjwai are demanding a public trial rather than the military tribunal being set up by the U.S. The Taliban are vowing to avenge the killings, which come a month after Americans were videotaped burning Qurans. And in fact, the Taliban took credit today for shooting at Afghan government officials at the funeral services for the victims. The accused soldier, an 11-year army veteran who had done 2 tours in Iraq, was part of a village stabilization project to help local police track down Taliban. This was the 38-year-old father of 2's first posting in Afghanistan. The unnamed soldier hails from the controversial Joint Base Lewis McChord in Washington State, which has become infamous for producing the so-called kill team accused of murdering civilians in Afghanistan in 2010, and has seen 12 soldier suicides and hundreds of cases of PTSD. The massacre puts a damper on the strategic partnership agreement which Afghan Prime Minister President Hamid Karzai had been negotiating with the U.S. to extend the American presence in Afghanistan past the 2014 troop withdrawal date. Karzai's attempts at bringing the Taliban to the negotiating table have resulted in his backing a repressive code of conduct for women put together by Islamic clerics that explicitly states women are worth less than men, a statement that could undo any progress made for women's rights over the past decade. Joining me on the phone this morning is Ahmed Rashid, journalist who has been covering Afghanistan, Pakistan and Central Asia for more than 20 years. He has written for the Wall Street Journal, Far Eastern Economic Review, Daily Telegraph and more. He is the author of the 2001 New York Times number one best-selling book, Taliban. His latest book is called Pakistan on the Brink, The Future of America, Pakistan and Afghanistan. Welcome to Uprising, Ahmed.
Thank you.
Also with us is Derek Crow. He is the political director of Brave New Foundation, focusing on the war costs and Rethink Afghanistan campaigns. Welcome, Derek.
Thank you.
Ahmed, let me start with you. This particular news that's coming out of Afghanistan is being looked at as the deadliest intentional attack on civilians by the U.S. since the start of the war. However, there have been plenty of other attacks that have intentionally or not killed far more civilians. Is this particular attack any different from? Does it come at a different time, at a time that you think is going to have worse repercussions than previous events?
Well, it is different, and it does come at a very difficult time. It's a culmination of a series of incidents between the Americans and the Afghans over the last few months, of which, you know, the major incident was the burning of Qurans by U.S. soldiers in the Bagram base, which is the biggest U.S. base outside Kabul. And that led to rioting. It led to Afghan soldiers killing American soldiers, 6 were killed. And so there's enormous tiredness now, I think, on both sides. I mean, this war has gone on 10, 11 years. The Afghans are tired of the American presence, and they now accept more and more the Taliban view that the continuation of this war is only because of the presence of foreign troops. If these foreign troops were to leave, somehow everything would go back to not being normal again. Now, obviously, that's not the case, but there are huge tensions between the government and the Taliban, and the war would likely to continue. But I think at the moment, the question of winning hearts and minds, the question of U.S. troops staying for perhaps 5 to 10 years, which is what the President Karzai wants in a new strategic partnership agreement that he wants signed with the Americans, I think these things are now very difficult to achieve.
Derek Crow, what do you make of the fact that the incident that just happened is being attributed to a rogue soldier?
Well, I think there are conflicting reports about that. I mean, when we first heard about this incident, the Afghan people on the ground that were talking to reporters were saying that They heard helicopters earlier that there was more than one person. But I think one of the more troubling aspects of the attack was the way that this particular soldier apparently stalked these victims military target style. He was taking his time choosing targets and just really in cold blood shooting these people down. And as Josh Faust pointed out in his article in the last day or two, that some of them didn't resist. They reacted as if it were a typical night raid, because unfortunately it's very common in Afghanistan to have U.S. troops kick in the doors of your homes and rough your family up, which has been an enormous source of tension and frustration and outrage in Afghanistan. So for a while, some of these folks apparently didn't react if anything abnormal was going on, and that led to their death. And I think you really can't discount what that shows about the deep trauma that a 10-year-long occupation has imposed on the Afghan people and, frankly, on the U.S. Military forces. I mean, we've been there longer than Americans back home have had YouTube, Facebook, or an iPhone. This is the longest war in U.S. history, and it's cost us $444 billion, more than 1,800 U.S. troop deaths, more than 15,000 wounded troops, to say nothing of countless wounded and injured Afghans, which we don't even have a good number for because no one was keeping track for many, many years. So I think this one particular incident, as Mr. Rashid said, comes at the end of a long litany of terrible incidents in the last couple of weeks that really signal that the relationship between the troops on the ground and the people there are really souring, and the perception of the U.S. forces is at a place where it may not be reparable.
Well, Ahmed, then in that case, what position does that put President Karzai in, who on the one hand is asking for the U.S. troops to stay there and on the other hand is facing enormous pressure from his own people who are, you know, because of incidents like these, increasingly skeptical, particularly in regions where the U.S. does conduct night raids? Certainly polls show that Afghan opinion varies region to region. But in areas like Panjwai, where these raids have become commonplace and now this particular incident has sparked so much anger, what position does that put President Karzai in?
Well, the relationship between Karzai and the Obama administration has become very, very complicated. The first issue is this question of a strategic partnership that Karzai wants. Now, nobody else wants this in the sense that the neighboring countries are against any long-term U.S. presence. The Taliban, of course, are against it. And if Karzai wants to negotiate a final peace settlement or a peace process with the Taliban, he will be met with huge opposition over this question of strategic partnership with the U.S. beyond 2014. So I think, you know, that's the first question he faces. The second is the terms of this agreement with the Americans. We know that Karzai is opposed to night raids, or at least he wants control over the night raids. The U.S. has said that this is the best way to catch Al-Qaeda and Taliban, and we don't want to give up this methodology. And, of course, you know, the second is control over the prisons in Afghanistan and some 5,000 suspected Taliban prisoners that are being held. Now, that apparently has been resolved over the last few days. But I think it all becomes meaningless, really, in the face of now this very strong anti-U.S. feeling that is on the ground amongst the people. And, of course, it makes it very difficult for Karzai to sign a friendship, strategic partnership agreement with a power that is seen as an occupying power and which most people are fed up of and want to see gone.
Derek Crowe, here in the United States, the mood has certainly soured also for the Afghan war. Well, how unpopular is the war currently in the United States? You mentioned the cost of the war earlier. This is coming at a time when the U.S. is still struggling with one of the worst recessions in modern, in the last, you know, several decades.
It is very unpopular in the United States. Public opinion in the United States has never been more against an ongoing occupation in Afghanistan. I mean, the number of people who say the war is not worth fighting is at 60% right now, and that's a five-year high, easily. The number of people who say that they want to withdraw immediately is in excess of 54%. And the number of folks who want those troops brought home right now is at an all-time high. And this is, as you say, after we've been spending $2 billion a week during one of the worst economic climates in modern history. And for Americans who oppose the war and want to bring those troops home, to be told by their government that that's not going to happen, we have to keep spending that much money on a solution that's frankly not a solution in Afghanistan, while people here lack jobs, lack the basic social safety nets in a lot of cases to prevent them from falling into poverty, it's really untenable. And for these Republican candidates and other folks in Congress to be agitating for more war, essentially, from a political perspective, really echoes the situation in the Politburo in the Soviet Union that really pushed past even their military advisors to, you know, kind of attempt to score a big political win with their domestic publics, and it was really disastrous for them, and it's going to be disastrous here.
And on that issue, speaking of Republicans, Senator John McCain said that President Obama shouldn't give up in Afghanistan. He said, quote, "I understand the frustration and I understand the anger and the sorrow. I also understand, and we should not forget, that the attacks on the United States of America on 9/11 originated in Afghanistan." Ahmed Rashid, what do you make of this as a journalist who's been covering the area of Afghanistan, Pakistan, and Central Asia for decades now? How do you respond to the American sentiment from Congress, from those in power here who want to continue this war in the same way that it has been conducted over the past 10 years?
Well, I think there's an enormous tiredness in Congress, too. And even though up till a few weeks ago, the Republican candidates who are jostling for position and the leadership of the Republican Party for the elections, they were all united in condemning Obama for holding talks with the Taliban, for being soft on the Taliban, for wanting to support a prolonged military presence in Afghanistan. And very suddenly, we've seen Mitt Romney, we've seen Newt Gingrich suddenly change their tune. Newt Gingrich has even gone to the extent of saying, this is not doable, the Americans cannot win this, and they should get out as soon as possible. So I think, you know, this killing has had a huge impact on the Republicans. And hopefully we may now see a greater degree of unity between the Democrats and Republicans in Congress so that Obama will be supported in his policies to, first of all, talk to the Taliban in order to achieve some kind of resolution. And secondly, that the withdrawal strategy will be a bipartisan effort and will not be up for internal sniping, which has really weakened the Obama administration's ability to get things done.
And I want to talk to you about the Taliban in just a moment, but I want to turn back to Derek Crow. Derek, what has this incident, do you think, done for the U.S. reputation in Afghanistan, which, after President Bush's tenure had been so severely sullied, but then President Obama's election seemed to assuage many world populations and communities. But just this particular incident of these, just this horrific killing, 9 children being killed among the 16, the Quran burnings, the earlier incident of U.S. soldiers urinating on dead Afghan corpses. What is that doing for the impression of Americans abroad?
Well, it's almost a self-evident question. I mean, we've had so many terrible incidents in a row that this could not help but further solidify an image of us as callous occupiers. And now, regardless of whether or not any of these one incidents represents the larger tenor of U.S. military attitudes in Afghanistan, it doesn't have to create a very solid, reinforced impression in the minds of the people under the thumb of the occupation here, that American troops disrespect the culture, that American troops disrespect the people. And there have been numerous studies. I mean, just one example that shows you just how farcical the U.S. strategy is in Afghanistan. There have been numerous studies done, even by our own military, about the attitudes between the American military and the Afghan National Security Forces. And a report by the Army last year showed that there was deep distrust, and even in many cases, open disrespect between those two forces. And those are the folks that the U.S. military wants to hand the government over to. So not only have we not won over the Afghan street, which is a pivotal part of the counterinsurgency strategy, we've not even won over the respect and the mutual full cooperation of the security forces that we're trying to hand the country to.
Ahmed Rashid, let's talk about the Taliban, who have vowed revenge for these killings. The U.S. and Karzai have now for several years been interested in bringing the Taliban to the table. They say that they would not come to the table till the U.S. were to actually leave. But if the Taliban does agree at some point, and certainly they have now, I understand, opened an office in Qatar, if they do agree to make peace with the Afghan central government and the United States, doesn't that leave the entire war effort meaningless? After 10 years, the country is then turned back to the very people the U.S. was fighting, except now all of the warlords the U.S., the Taliban were fighting and were on the defensive have positions of power, and they, too, certainly don't have much of a reputation.
No, I don't think so, because I think what most Afghans want is an end to the war, the end to the civil war. And if the Americans can leave and also bring about a negotiated settlement between President Karzai and the Taliban, in other words, bring about an end to the civil war, so that we will not be depending on the Afghan army or the Afghan police to fight a war which they obviously can't win against the Taliban, then I think people will welcome it in Afghanistan and in the world. I think, you know, the other thing to remember is that despite all these incidents and even this horrific incident the other day, the Taliban have not pulled out of the talks. And I think this is extremely significant. Yes, of course, they've condemned these incidents. They condemned the Quran burning, the killing of these 16 Afghans, and they vowed to take revenge you know, the war continues, but they have not pulled out of the talks, which was something that they could do to show their resentment against the Americans. And I think that really does mark a significant shift in the Taliban's attitude towards these negotiations. In other words, they want negotiations with the Americans, and they're signaling to the Americans that, look, not only do we want them, by not pulling out, we're actually telling you, speed them up now and get on with it. And let's talk Turkey. These incidents will continue. When you have 150,000 Western troops in a foreign country, you're going to have these kinds of incidents. I mean, hopefully not of this severity, but these incidents will continue. But I think what is important now is that President Obama needs to put his full weight and the presidential weight behind the State Department's efforts to negotiate with the Taliban.
Well, Ahmed Rashid, what about the fact that as part of these deals that are being struck or this negotiating with the Taliban, the president is signing away any gains made by Afghan women with this endorsement of the so-called code of conduct, which essentially says that women are worth less. It literally says that women are worth less, and that it even says that beating one's wife is okay if it's compliant with Sharia law.
Well, I agree with you. This is, pretty horrific. But Karzai has a tendency to pass edicts and bills and then withdraw them. And if there is substantial pressure against this bill, which I think there will be, both from Afghan women and from the international community, we may well see him withdraw it. But we have to also understand that, if there's going to be a peace deal and some kind of power-sharing deal between the Taliban and the Kabul government, women are going to be the most vulnerable part of the community. And ensuring that women retain the gains that they have made in the last 10 years is obviously going to be very important for Afghan women, for the negotiators, and for the international community. And this issue should not be dealt away as a card to play with the Taliban demanding tighter rules against women. But how do you maintain this in the light of really overwhelming power by the Taliban vis-a-vis the Kabul government? It's difficult to say. I hope there will be quick successes on a political front. In other words, that there will be quick successes in bringing about an end to the war and perhaps a political power-sharing agreement. and that the Taliban can be persuaded that the gains made in education, in health, in women's issues should not be reopened, once again.
Well, Derek Crowe, here in the United States, what are things that you think Americans can do who are tired of seeing this war play out? Are there pieces of legislation that could be backed or ways in which to express support for the ending of the war and other ways to for Americans to educate themselves online?
Well, we have continued at the WarCost project, the work of our Rethink Afghanistan campaign, and people can plug into that at warcost.com. But more generally, the most important thing that people can do is to get in touch with their elected officials immediately by phone. Don't send an email. Send them a kind of communication that can't be ignored, a phone call to the White House, to your elected officials in Congress, and tell them that you want this war ended by the end of this year, that 2014 and beyond is far too long. That's another $2 billion a week and more incidents like this every month, and neither side can afford it. They need to contact their elected officials in a way that can't be ignored and strongly express a desire to have this war ended. Now, to keep up on current news on this so they can stay informed with those inquiries, they can of course, join us at warcost.com or Facebook.com/warcost. But the most important thing is to strongly and repeatedly contact those elected officials right now.
And we'll post that on our website later today. Finally, Ahmed Rashid, is there a website listeners can find your writings on?
Yeah, ahmed.rashid/.com.
Yeah. Ahmedrashid.com, yes.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Ahmed Rashid, for joining us. Thank you also, Derek Crowe. The websites that my guests, Derek Crowe, recommended are warcost.com and facebook.com/warcosts. He is the political director of Brave New Foundation, focusing on the War Costs and Rethink Afghanistan campaigns. Also with us, Ahmed Rashid, a journalist who has been covering Afghanistan, Pakistan, and Central Asia for more than 20 years. He's written for the Wall Street Journal, the Far Eastern Economic Review, Daily Telegraph, and more. He's the author of the 2001 New York Times number one best-selling book entitled simply Taliban, and his latest book is called Pakistan on the Brink, The Future of America, Pakistan, and Afghanistan. Again, his website, ahmedrashid.com, or you can just check uprisingradio.org later today for links.